Hey, how many of you are excited? Whoop, whoop. All right, good. Now, I'm going to be honest. If bring your kids out to Kids Club. Today's Super Sunday. Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-E. Super Sunday. Uh-huh, yeah. I'm fully functioning in my grandparent juices. Give them sweets, send them home. You know, it's just awesome. I'm having a good time with it. I don't have to parent them. You know, I just, yeah, good. Have good times when they get home. Good luck at bedtime. All right. We're excited about that, and it's a great time, and we have a great team in place, so that's a plug for Kids Club. Why don't we open with a word of prayer, then we'll jump into the Word this morning, all right? Lord, we thank you that you love us, that you're for us today, and you're not against us, and Father, you work all things after the counsel of your will in our lives. Lord, help us today through your word to see how you orchestrate all things after your counsel. And Father, how you are in control of our lives. You know, our down sitting or uprising, you're intimately acquainted with all of our ways. Lord, help us to know your ways. Help us to walk in a manner worthy of you, to please you in all respects in our lives, that you would be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. By way of recap, we're going to just briefly touch. We wanted to talk about last week, knowing God's will, that life is about God. Amen. It's not about us. God is the creator of all and all of creation, including me and you. We exist to bring him glory. So the foundation of knowing God's will is our relationship with him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." So the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Last week we talked about God's will is revealed through his word. He wants to communicate with you. He loves you. He's not going to express his will to you in something that contradicts his word, that's mysterious or something. And 99% of all that we need to know about God's will for our lives can be found in his word. Now, 99% is not a technical term as much as a general expression to say a large percentage of what you're going to need to know about the will of God in your life is in his word. God communicates his will through circumstances. God orchestrates circumstances to help speak to us. We shared the story about the man on the roof who was trying to get out of the flood, and God sent situation after situation to deliver him. And we have a tendency to mystify God, and God wants to demystify and say, "Hey, I'm right here." He sent a boat, he sent a raft, and he sent all kinds of help, but he was trying to figure out God's will as some kind of different mystical thing. God communicates his will through others. There's wisdom in the counsel of many, amen? And God's will and confirmation for our lives a lot of times happens through people that he's put in our lives, life coaches, peers, parents, all sorts of roles, and business associates and individual that God places in our life to help confirm his will to us. And God communicates his will today, we're going to look at through opportunities. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul said, "A wide door for effective service is opened up to me, but there are many adversaries." And so there are times in our lives where God's will is communicated through opportunities. And this can happen both proactively and reactively. Proactive in the sense that you're seeking God's will for your life, your next step, and you're taking steps, whereas perhaps the mind of man plans its ways, God directs your steps. And God opens a door, and that open door that's put before you is something that's God's will. And it comes in a way that's just so full of grace, so full of favor, and all the circumstances and all the others and God's word, it all lines up to say this open door is the will of God for my next step in life. And I've seen that happen in many people's lives here. I mean, we've seen people step into opportunities and step into open doors that are were wide open, and it was God's will for their life in terms of other opportunities coming their way to see that take place. That could be your career. It could be situations relationally. Sometimes opportunities through relationships, opportunities through ministry, opportunities through all kinds of educational situations, whatever it might be. The other side of that is reactive. You might have a situation where God's will is expressed through an opportunity through, you weren't planning on something, you didn't expect it, but all of a sudden something comes to you and you're reacting to something that happens and you're just like, wow, look what the Lord has done. It can be a situation where you have to know and discern again, how do we know God's will? A large percentage of what God's going to do in your life is revealed through His Word. Here's your roadmap of life. Amen? This is it, right here. He's going to communicate His will, and all the decisions, all the choices, all the opportunities, all the voices of others has to line up with His Word. I remember years ago, when it talks about opportunity, and we can have to discern these things and find out, is this God's will in our lives? There was somebody had a situation where a job opportunity opened up in Chapel Hill, and this particular person was a headhunter that approached them, and this was like their dream job, okay? Dream job. This is what I've prepared for, been trained for educationally. All my resources, all my skills have come to this place. This door opened up, and it was a potential opportunity that could have been incredible. But to find out God's will, you've got to seek God and seek God through His Word, seek God through circumstances, seek God through others. And this is what's going to kind of lead us into what we're going to talk about today, because two of the questions we're going to talk about are how to hear God's voice. So this particular opportunity opened up. A person was praying about it, and it seemed everything in the natural seemed right. And this is where you have to be discerning about God's will. It seemed right. But the person came to me and said, basically, you know, I'm praying about this, and it seems right. It seems like it, but for some reason, I'm just not at peace about it. I'm wrestling through this. And I said, well, what has God told you? What do you feel like the Lord's telling you? I don't know. Something about it just doesn't seem right. And the person ended up turning the job down and not stepping through that opportunity. And then guess what happened? Ended up staying here. Promotion took place here. That particular situation, 4 months, the thing totally closed down. Had they stepped into that situation, you never know that every opportunity may not be an open door from God. And you've got to know what God's will is in those situations, both proactively and reactively. Whether you're pursuing something in your career, or maybe somebody's pursuing you in your career, or whether a relationship or a situation, you've got to know, and this is what kind of leads us into our questions today about hearing God. Hearing God. You've got to know, hey, I have a peace about this. Before we do that, 8 hindrances, okay, we're just going to briefly bump these because we're going to spend some time answering the questions, how do I hear God and how do I tune into His voice? 8 hindrances to knowing God's will. I'm going to briefly go through these. Again, John 7, 16 through 17, Jesus said, if any man is willing to do my will, he'll know of the teaching. He's going to know it. If you're willing to do God's will, you're going to know it. So number one on the list, of course, is a lack of willingness. If you're not willing to do God's will, if you're coming to Him and praying about something, but you have kind of an agenda in there, then it's going to be hard to know it. Number two, sin. It's going to be hard to know God's will for your life if you're just in rebellion and not obeying Him and following after Him. Or if there's something in your life that's blocking or because of sin, you're in disobedience to God, it's going to be hard to know fully what His will is for your life. The influence of others. Influence of others. That can be both a positive thing or a negative thing to do God's will. You might be thinking about something and somebody's trying to talk you out of it. You might be not wanting to do something and somebody's trying to say, yeah, yeah, and it's really God's will for your life. The influence of others. You have to be careful about that. Again, we view things in the light of Scripture. Ignorance. Ignorance. I just don't know. We have to seek and look for God's will in our lives. Doubt. Doubt. This is a big one because a lot of times God's will may be something for your life that he's trying to lead you into, but you have a hard time believing it could be that good. How many times have I seen situations where people have a hard time just believing that God would bless them? God wants to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you can ask or think. And I'm struggling stepping into it because why would God do something so great in my life? Number six, we're just too busy. Way too busy to do God's will. Way too busy. Well, how are you going to know the fullness of what God's called you to walk in if you're so consumed and overwhelmed with life, not in a negative way, but just in the sense you're way too busy to seek after God's will? Number seven, fear. Fear. We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he what? Is. So we have to move in faith. We have to believe that he's for us and not against us when we're looking after his will. He loves us, right? He wants to communicate to us. And number eight is unworthiness. Unworthiness. God's will opens a door for you. It's a promotion. It's something that you just can't imagine. You can't wrap your brain. How could it be me? I just can't think that I'm that special or God loves me that much to put me in that type of situation. So our question that we got as part of our Q&A series, which is a big question for many believers, is how can I hear God? How do I tune in to the voice of God? We're going to look at three thoughts along those lines. And then we're going to talk about tuning in to the voice of God and then give you what the voice of God practically as a framework may look like. So number one, how do I hear God? Well, guess what? God knows how to talk to you like nobody else. It's like that phrase, you know, your mama knows you better than anybody else. I'm 55. My mother says, now, Michael, I'm your mother. I know who you are and I know what you're all about. You know, you just really don't want to hear that at 55. You know, I've heard that my whole life. You know, can't we just move on? You can't. It's just part of life. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Jesus, by nature, portrayed himself as a shepherd. Psalm 23:3 says this, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Did you realize as a son or daughter of God, you are his namesake? You're his child. And because of love, he can speak your language that is specifically wired to you. You have a way that you hear. And God communicates to you in the way that speaks to you in that's specific to your particular personality, your temperament, your emotions, everything about you. And he does it with love, just as much as the Bible says he would leave the 99 sheep and pursue the one who is straying. It's that same type of heart of the shepherd who goes after, my sheep know me, they hear my voice. God's going to communicate to you as your shepherd, and not only that, but you're going to know his voice. You're going to recognize it. You're going to hear it. Why? Because number two, when God speaks, there is fruit of his heart, his Holy Spirit, his way, if you will, that communicates in this type of way that gives you a sense of, this is what it's going to look like. James 3:17 says, the wisdom from above is what? Pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So let's look at this for a second. It's pure. God comes to you as a father. And his intent and his will, there's no agenda. There's nothing you have to be afraid of or second guess or question. Why? Because his intent, the very essence of it, his pure-heartedness towards you is as his sheep, is for you to hear him, to know that he has your best interest, his perfect, prove his will, which is what? Good, acceptable, and perfect. It's peaceable. People ask me all the time, how do you know the voice of God? How do you hear the voice of God? You know what? There is a knowing that resonates deep on the inside of you. As somebody explained to me as a young believer, Mike, you're a knower. If we're framed it as a knower, you're going to know. You have this internal knower. It's the voice of God that's going to, inner voice by the Holy Spirit that's going to speak to you. You're going to know it, and it's going to be accompanied by peace. Now, it's the peace of God, not an emotion. And we're going to make that distinction here in a few minutes. It's the peace of God, not necessarily an emotion. It can be accompanied by emotions, but it's not defined by an emotion. It's gentle. God is a shepherd. He leads sheep in a gentle way. He's not harsh. He's not pushy. He's not impulsive. God is not impulsive. Quickly, get up, run over there quickly. You're going to miss this opportunity. And so many people live their lives under the tyranny of like God's just insecure and impulsive and just always on edge. And they think the Lord leads them like that. He's not. He's gentle. You've got to understand, God sees down the road quite a ways. And because of the foresight that he has, far greater than you and I, he leads us gently. You know why? Because he's not going to overwhelm you with his voice. He's going to lead you and guide you and counsel you with his eye upon you in a gentle, gracious way. He's reasonable. Reasonable, which this is one of my favorite words when it comes to this. It means willing to yield. It means that God is not going to strong arm you to do something. He's going to speak to you. You're going to hear his voice. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's unwavering and it's without hypocrisy, which means it's consistent. And God is not schizophrenic. He's not double-minded and all over the place. Today you're this, tomorrow you're this. All right? Many years ago, I'll give you an example of this. We were, late 90s or something like around that time frame. And we were meeting in our church service over in the multipurpose room. And that used to be our sanctuary many years ago before we bought this building. And we were in a place where we had really grown in that area and we were crowded. And so our board of directors were kind of praying through and our eldership team just, you know, what should we do? How are we going to handle this situation? And a building right across, up the road and across the street had come available. And so we were all looking at this and the gentleman was trying to work a deal with us. And we were like, man, this could be great. It had a lot of space. We could do all this stuff for kids and step into the situation and create a larger sanctuary. It had better parking than what we have here. And we've always been navigating that one. But it was just, wow, this is incredible. It was an opportunity. Again, you got to know God's will in this way. And so all these situations, and it seemed like this was God's will. And I remember we went through the contracts and we were going through it and looking at the lease. And we came to the place, we were eating breakfast, I think four or five of us. And we were sitting there, and we were looking at that, and supposed to meet and sign the dotted line. And I just remember sitting there going, you know what? I think I looked at Eddie or something, and I said, man, I just don't have a peace about this. I don't know why. I can't intellectually tell you why. And I'm explaining my thought process to everybody. I said, guys, I know it makes sense logically, but for some reason it just, here in my, it just doesn't sit right. I'm just not at peace with it. It wasn't about my emotions or it was just deep on the inside. And then there was like, well, man, if you don't have a peace about this, we sure don't want to do this. But I said, but I'm just one person. I said, well, and then we started talking about that. And then it was like, okay, well, let's just wait. Well, another month went by, so we didn't do the deal. Another month came by. And we experienced probably one of the most significant transitions as a church. We had like eight families move out of town in a matter of 6 weeks. And they were all key families in our church through job transitions. And we were like, if we had done that, it involved a little bit of financial risk. If we had done that and made that step, it would have crushed us financially. and sent us back probably a year or so as a church. It would have been a bad, bad decision. And so the peace of God, that wisdom from above, that was gentle, reasonable, full of good fruits, and spoke, directed us in that moment. There was fruit that lined up with hearing God's voice. Does that make sense? All right, number three, your feelings, your feelings are not, everybody say are not, a definitive sign of God speaking. Oh boy. Your feelings are not a definitive sign of God speaking. One of my favorite stories that underscore this statement, and this has happened to me, you're not going to believe this, many times. Pastor Mike, can I meet with you? Sure. Okay. I have been praying, like, real conversation. Perhaps you're here today, maybe you're having this conversation to yourself. I have been praying and seeking God, and I've really just had this feeling. This is exactly the way I'm not being facetious. I have this feeling that the Lord is doing something new in my life. Really? Well, tell me. Well, you know, my wife and I, we've been going through some difficult times, and I have just really been feeling, I met this woman, and this woman really understands me and really understands, as I've been sharing with her, about my wife and I's difficulty, and she's been counseling me, and I am feeling, Pastor Mike, the Lord is leading me to leave my wife and go marry this woman. And how did I respond to that? Really? And I'm just as sincere as I really feel this. Pastor Mike, I feel it deeply. Deeply. My next statement was, I took the Bible and I said, okay, Kent, here's the Bible. Please explain that to me from here. Okay? So anyways, that kind of ended the conversation. Feelings are not a definitive sign of God speaking. God is not going to lead you feeling through something that contradicts His Word or violates His Scripture in any way, shape, or form. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 119 that the sum of this Word is truth. So you can't extrapolate one verse out of the Bible and say, well, here's what the Bible, and all of a sudden build a case for your subjective emotions. And feel like that you've got some kind of word from heaven. God is not bizarre or weird. He's the creator. He's the creator of the universe. He's orchestrated all things in His wisdom and might, and the manifold wisdom of God creates galaxies and solar systems, and the intricacies of the human anatomy should tell you enough information by design alone that God is orchestrating His will and speaks you in a way that is going to be fruitful, full of grace, peaceable, gentle, all the things we've read about in James 3. The fruit of a life led by feelings ultimately leads to disappointment and exhaustion. It always does. You know why? Because to build your life and navigate life and do life in a way that is fruitful and productive as a child of God, you will have to be anchored in the Word. You could call it stormproofing your life. Subjective emotions, when the Holy Spirit or God's doing something in your life and you feel something, that's great. But your life is not defined by that subjective experience. Your life is defined, but what does God say? Subjective experiences can be there to bless you and encourage you and help you and build you up and all of these things and confirm or affirm what the Word says, but the Word of God is what your life has got to be anchored on, brethren. Because goosebump can go and a goosebump can leave you, and then you can still be in the middle of a storm and wonder, how in the world am I going to navigate this bad boy? You've got to have God's Word in your life. to be rooted and grounded. So that why? Ephesians 4 says, so that we're not children, what? Tossed to and fro by every what? Wind, or trend, or fad, or feeling. When you follow God's word, your feelings and emotions can line up with it. But your feelings and emotions should not define truth. Does that make sense? All right. If you do, you're like a child. You're just on a roller coaster in life. I'm up today because Jesus touched me. And then tomorrow I'm down because I didn't feel him. Mm-hmm. Feelings, intuitions, and emotions should be judged according to the word. If I could encourage you in anything, the Bible has to be the anchor to your soul. It has to anchor your life. Subjective experiences in God are great, but they should not define your faith. They affirm, they support, they encourage, but the Word of God has got to define your life. I hope you can hear that. How do I tune into the voice of God was one of our questions. How do I tune in? And I'm going to make a statement and give you a practice and practical how to do this. To tune into the voice of God, don't put the burden on your ability to hear, but instead on God's ability to speak. I'm really trying to hear, and we take a burden, like a false weight upon ourselves to hear God. Well, God has no trouble communicating if your will is aligned with His will, as we said last week. It only becomes a burden typically when we're crossing something here, or we're missing something and we're being led by something that's not as solid and grounded as the Word. How do we tune into the voice of God? Number one, we put ourselves in the right environment. Put yourself in the right environment. I'm going to give a shout out to who came up with this analogy. It's a great one. Beatty gave me this. Radio, you can tune into your radio station. We all have favorite radio stations. You can put your favorite station and dial it in at whatever. I'm just going to randomly pick one, okay? So, 98.3. Thank you, Matt. There we go. 98.3. So we got 98.3, the bridge, right? Tuned in here. We're listening to our music. Guess what's happening around like 88 or 89? You know those stations way down there on the lower range on the left? Guess what always plays on there? Classical music. Nobody is asking you whether you like classical music. It's playing down there, right? And in between that spectrum and the other end, there's a whole range of sounds. It's there. It's speaking. In the same way, God is always speaking. But you have to tune into the right frequency. The fact that you're not tuned in or hearing it doesn't mean it's not speaking. That classical song, well, you may hate it, but it's playing right there. You're tuned in here. To tune into the voice of God, we have to put ourselves in the right type of environment. We have to dial in our hearts, our minds, and our souls. God is speaking to you. So, number one, we do that externally. How do we do that? We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, Hebrews talks about. Why? Externally, in a right environment. People say, well, Pastor Mike, you know, me and Jesus, we're at home having church. Well, I'm not saying God can't speak to you in the context of your home, but there's something about a many-membered body that God has established and set in the context of His house, His church, that God speaks to you in. You have to be in the right environment. If you're around a group of people, bad company corrupts good morals. If you're around a negative environment that's not promoting your walk with Christ, and you're trying to hear God, and you've got these other voices communicating to you, it's going to be hard to hear. But why? Because you're inundated with so much ungodly or worldly or negative voices that it's drowning out, perhaps, or competing with what God wants to speak to you. So you've got to put yourself in the right environment. Number two, you condition your heart to hear His voice internally through prayer, which is drawing close to God, getting closer to Him so you can be in a proximity that's close to hear His Word, because His Word divides your soul and spirit. So when you're staying in the Word and going to the Word, the Word's going to judge and separate your emotions and your motives and deal with it. If I'm struggling and I'm praying through something, believe me, I am staying close to God in prayer and close to this Word as I'm seeking His will, because what it will do is it will address anything in my heart that's not conditioned to move directly and be aligned with His will. You have to condition your heart. Number three, probably the most important, is you shut up and you listen. Be quiet. Lord, I just need to know Your will, God. Just speak to me, God. God, I've got to hear Your will, Lord. What's Your will look like? God, speak to me. Speak to me. Lord, speak to me. And you kind of feel like the Lord saying, well, if you'd be quiet, I would. Listen. And then recognition of God's voice comes through practice. It would be great to say that the very first time you walk and try and think you've heard God's voice, that you're going to hit it every time, or you're going to know it every time. It's like a phone call. Somebody calls you the first time, you've never met a person, or you're just meeting a person. You may not pick up on who it is on the other line, but if you've known somebody for a very long time, you pick up on the phone, man, you can hit it 99% of the time. But even then, you can go, hey, Bob, Mike, this is not Bob, this is Joe. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, Joe. I thought you were somebody else. Could be based upon expectations. Could be based upon if you're distracted. Could be based on a lot of things. We have to realize hindsight is 20/20. We can see how God has led us in the past, so there's always going to be an element of faith involved when it comes to hearing God. Our senses have to be trained to know God's voice. Hebrews 5:14 talks about the solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. 1 Samuel 3:9, when Eli the prophet was mentoring Samuel at an early age, Samuel kept hearing his name being called. And after several times, Eli finally tells him, hey, look, when you hear that voice, go lie down and say, it shall be, if he calls you, then you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In 1 Samuel 3:9. God spoke to Samuel. In the same way, you're going to know His voice. Why? Because you're His sheep. You have the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower after Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And that voice is there to help you, and it's always going to undergird and line up with the Word. Three things you're going to have to do. Number one, or three voices you will have to deal with is God's voice, your flesh, and the enemy. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. God is the one you want to hear. Your flesh is your mind, intellect, emotions, and will. That's why you stay close in the Word and close in prayer. And then there's the enemy who's going to constantly try and be screaming at you something other than what God's will is. And then three possible answers God may speak like this. Number one, God's going to give you a red light, okay? That means, red light means what? Stop. No. Don't go down that road. That is not for you. He's going to use that peace from heaven to speak to you and say, you don't have a peace about that. I remember years ago, we were moving from our house, we're going to move from our house, and we had put a contract on a house that we kind of liked, and we were going camping. It was a Friday night, and all night I did not sleep because we thought, well, this house would work, but I did not, again, have a peace on the inside of me about this house. I wrestled through it, and next morning I got up and told Mary Beth, and I said, man, I just don't think this is it, and I can't remember the circumstance, but it just fell through and did not work out. And then eventually, 3 days later, we had some circumstances involved where we were blessed with some money, and that money opened up a door to look at a different house, and the house we ended up buying took the price off $10,000 in a matter of 24 hours. A house I'd looked at previously that fit our family much better. So that situation means no. That piece is there to tell you why. Number two is the yellow light. You may get a caution. Slow down. Pause. Not now. It could be a timing issue. How God speaks to you. It could be a sense of, hey, slow down. It could be timing. It could be God has something better for you. It could be a good idea. Not all the information has come to you yet. It could be that you've only got 60% of the picture, or 90% of the picture, or 99% of the picture. There's still 1%. God's wanting you to wait and see what His will looks like. And then last, of course, is green. Yes, you have that peace. You have that knowing. You have that sense of this is the will of God. God's ways are not always what? Our ways and His paths are not always what? Our paths. His ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. And when we yield and listen and align our will up with His, whether through a red light, a yellow light, or a green light, we can know that we're stepping with full confidence that we're going to be in the will of God. So, in review one more time, let's wrap this up. How can we hear the voice of God and tune into His voice? He speaks our language. When God speaks, there's fruit. Your feelings, as we said, are not a definitive sign of that. How do we tune into His voice? Get into the right frequency. Through putting yourself in the right environment, conditioning our heart to hear His voice, we internally tune in. And then number three, practice makes perfect. Amen. Circumstances, others, that confirmation, that underscoring, it says, hey, yeah, I witnessed this. I agree with that in your life. That's how the voice of God speaks. Amen. Knowing the will of God for our lives, it's a good thing. The more Jesus said, again, if any man is willing to do my will, he'll what? He'll know. You're His sheep. He's given you the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all the truth. Listen. Listen. And trust Him. Because His plans for your life are what? For good. For welfare. Not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. To help you in every aspect of your life. When it's quiet, wait. Because He has no trouble communicating. Lord, I'm here to do your will. Amen. Let's all stand and we'll pray and dismiss. Lord, I just thank you for your grace today and pray for every one of us, Father. You said, my sheep know me.